chapter 6. You may also want to find a place in Matthew 12 and Mark chapter 3. But in Luke 6, we'll read verses 6 through verse 11. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he, Jesus, entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, that is Jesus, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, "Rise up, stand forth in the midst." And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, the Pharisees, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, "Stretch forth thy hand." And he did so. His hand was restored whole as the other. And they, the Pharisees, were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. This, of course, is Luke's account of Jesus healing a man with a withered hand. Matthew also records this event in Matthew 12, verses 9 through 13. Mark also records the event in Mark 3, verses 1 through 5. In their records, all three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, record the fact that Jesus entered the synagogue. Matthew says he went into their synagogue. Mark says he entered again into the synagogue, so he'd been there before. And Luke says, "And it came to pass also on another Sabbath," implying that he'd been there before on a Sabbath, "that he entered into the synagogue." So all three accounts begin with Jesus. All three record that it was the Sabbath day when he entered this synagogue. All three accounts speak of the Pharisees that were present. Luke records the fact in verse 6 of our text, and he's the only one that does, that Jesus taught that day in the synagogue. All three accounts call our attention to a particular man who was in the synagogue that day. Matthew writes in Matthew 12, verse 10, "And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered." Mark records in Mark 3, verse 1, "There was a man there which had a withered hand." And Luke, in our text in verse 6, records there was a man whose right hand. Luke's the only one who tells us which hand it was withered. All three records give the details of the healing miracle that took place. Matthew 12, verse 13, Mark 3, verse 5, Luke 6, verse 10, gives us all the details. We see from all this that it was very obvious, it was a very manifest event. So what we have here is the record of one of the many healing miracles of Christ. All the miracles of Christ were very significant events. They were numerous. They were of great variety. And of course, there's a lesson there. Jesus is sufficient for whatever the need. Following the miracles, we see all through the Gospels, particularly the book of John, and miracles are attributed directly to Jesus Christ. John chapter 2, the first recorded miracle of Christ, when Jesus turned the water into wine. John 2, verse 11, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus." This beginning of miracles did Jesus. In John 2, verse 23, we read of many that saw the miracles which he did. Which he did. It doesn't just say the miracles of Jesus, but it says which he did. We see in John chapter 3, there are miracles which thou doest. So all through the book of John, we see these miracles are attributed to Jesus Christ. Not only are they attributed to Christ, but they are said to be which none other did. In John 15, verse 24. Now these miracles, whether they be healing miracles or miracles over nature, whatever they be, they all authenticated the mission of Christ. That was one of the purposes of the miracles. Jesus said in John 5, verse 36, I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. So the miracles authenticated who Jesus was, authenticated the mission of Christ. The miracles portray, of course, the needs of man. The healing miracles specifically portray the salvation that is in Jesus Christ, and all the miracles portray the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. They all provide valuable instruction. They all provide guidance. They all provide great encouragement we see in the miracles of Christ. They promote faith. They promote courage. They promote conviction. They promote humility, thankfulness, and praise. So it's a wonderful thing to have these records of the miracles of Christ. Now, in our text, Jesus instructed this man with the withered hand, stretch forth thy hand. And that's our subject. Stretch it forth. Stretch forth. We want to consider four main points. We want to consider the scene that is before us, the need that is before us, the healing that took place, and then an application to you and I. But first of all, consider the scene. You have a synagogue. Jesus enters the synagogue. So in that synagogue is God Himself in a body of human flesh. Jesus was there, and He was God. Wherever Jesus went, He was who He was. In that synagogue that day was Almighty God. In that synagogue that day was infinite, omniscient, all-sufficient God. Standing right before the people was the Creator and the Sustainer of all. And He's in a body of human flesh. As He stands there in that synagogue, He is above all. He is over all. He is beyond all. He is the living, conquering, triumphant, overcoming Lamb of God. It's important that we remember who it was that was in that synagogue that day. In that synagogue was God's remedy, God's solution to man's greatest problem. In that synagogue that day was God's provision for man's greatest need. There He is, in the synagogue. He's greater than everything else that's in that synagogue that day. He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer. He's the Shepherd. He's the Friend of sinners. And He's in that synagogue that day. He's the manifestation of God's grace. He's the manifestation of God's mercy, His love, and His goodness. There He is. We need to see Him in that synagogue that day. He is there and He is able to mend. He's able to cure. He's able to fix. He's able to correct. He's able to strengthen whatever needed those things. He is there in person There was no condition in that synagogue that he was not able to meet. There was no situation, there was no circumstance that he was not able to meet. There was no sin, there was no guilt, there was no enslavement, there was no problem, there was no difficulty, there was no trial, there was no plague that he was not sufficient for. So Jesus was there. And he is here today. Secondly, or also in that synagogue, was a man whose right hand was withered. And also in that synagogue were the Pharisees. And they knew that Jesus was a healer. They knew that he was a forgiver of sin. And they knew of his message. And there they sit. Jesus is there. And there they sit in the chief seats, wrapped in their formal array, with their haughty, frowning faces, filled with pride, filled with hypocrisy. And there they sit, as self-righteous judges. Verse 6 of our text, Jesus is teaching. But notice verse 7. Remember who he is. He's Jesus. He's God in the flesh. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him. All eyes were upon him. Whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. They're watching. They are watching very intently. They are watching with scrutiny. They watched him. Those words have a sinister tone to them. They watched him. They are hoping that he would, in their eyes, break the Sabbath. That's what they're hoping for. They wanted to see him heal. Not because they could believe on him. Not for the benefit of the man whose right hand was withered. The reason they wanted to see him heal was that they might find an accusation against him. Pharisees are still the same today. So there's God in a human body. But this goes right past the stubborn, obstinate hearts of the Pharisees. They don't realize who it is that's before them. And they're hoping that he will heal so that they could indict him as a Sabbath breaker. And there they sit in their long robes, in their self-righteousness, in their hypocrisy and in their pride and in their critical hearts looking for fault. They're looking again to indict him as a blasphemer. Oh, how convoluted their thinking. We read in verse 8 of our text, he knew their thoughts. So that's the basic scene going on in that synagogue. That brings us to number 2, the need. In each account, following the record of Jesus entering the synagogue, there is the conjunction and. Notice in Matthew 12, verses 9 and 10, and when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. Notice in Mark chapter 3, verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue. Notice, and there was a man there, which had a withered hand. And then notice in our text, in verse 6, Luke 6, verse 6, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. So what we read there is, Jesus is there, and there was a man whose hand was withered. Jesus entered that particular synagogue on that particular Sabbath day with a purpose. He didn't accidentally go into the synagogue. He went in there on purpose. And he went there with a purpose. So it was his purpose to go to that particular synagogue on that particular Sabbath day. One of his purposes was to teach. It was one of the reasons he went in. Another was to confront the scribes and the Pharisees that he knew would be there. But his main objective, his main motivation for going into that particular synagogue on that particular Sabbath was to do a miraculous work on a particular individual, a man whose right hand was withered. Jesus was there that day for him. He had entered that synagogue to heal that man. A man whose right hand was withered. Now that's a picture of need. This man had a great need. The word withered has to do with that which is shriveled. Something that is in a state of deterioration, something that is shrunk. It is a word that is used to describe dried plants, dried dead wood, dried fruits. So this man had a hand, his right hand, Luke tells us, that was shriveled. That means that with that hand, he was unable to grasp, lay hold of anything. It'd be like this, would be his hand, all shriveled up. You can't do anything with it. That was the condition of this man. If there was something that needed to be moved, this man could not do it with that right hand. If there was something in the way, he could not move it out of the way with that right hand. So this right hand would be a hindrance to this man's life. It was a limitation in his life. It was an encumbrance. It was something that got in the way. It caused him some complication in life. It would be an inconvenience to him. That brings us to our third point, the healing. Again, verse 8 of our text. Jesus, before the Pharisees ever spoke a word, knew their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking. They're sitting there, all pious, self-righteous, critical, and they're thinking, man, I hope he heals this guy. And if he does, we've got him. He's a Sabbath breaker. He knew their thoughts. He knew that they were longing for him to heal so that they could accuse him of breaking the Sabbath. And there is a man whose right hand was withered. And he's sitting in the synagogue. You say, well, how do you know he's sitting? because Jesus said to him, rise up. So he's sitting in that synagogue. He's not in the chief seats like the Pharisees. He's probably sitting over in a corner somewhere. But there he sits with his right hand all withered. Have you ever noticed if someone has a paralyzed hand, they usually hold it close to their body for some reason? Probably so they won't bump it or something to cause greater pain. But there he sits with that withered hand. The Pharisees knew that man was there. And they certainly know that Jesus is there. And Jesus looks at that man with the withered hand. And in Luke 6 verse 8 he said, rise up and stand forth in the midst. Basically what Jesus says is, you with the withered hand, stand to your feet and come forward. Come toward me. And then we read, and he arose and stood forth. So he stands up and he walks over to where Jesus is. Now remember, up to this point, the Pharisees had not said anything. So you have Jesus and this man with the withered hand standing in the midst of the synagogue. Jesus knows what these Pharisees are thinking. He knows they just want me to heal somebody so they can accuse me of being a Sabbath breaker and a blasphemer. So there's Jesus. And there's this man standing in the midst. And there are the Pharisees sitting in the chief seats, wrapped in their formal array, with their haughty, frowning faces, filled with self-righteousness, filled with pride, filled with hypocrisy, filled with a critical spirit, and they're watching with scrutiny. All eyes are upon Jesus and this man with the withered hand. It was at this point in Matthew 12, verse 10, again, Jesus and the man are standing there. There's the Pharisees. And the Pharisees asked him, Jesus, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? Now notice if you go over to Matthew 12, notice Jesus' answers in verse 11 and 12. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it shall fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Is not this man standing here with a withered hand worth more than a sheep? It's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look at him! Is he not worth more than a sheep? And yet you will save a sheep on the Sabbath day. That's the point that Jesus is making. And then he asked them a question. Wherefore, it is lawful, he makes a statement, wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. So Jesus answers their question with a very thought-provoking statement. Then we come, it is at this point, that we read verse 10 of our text. So go over to Luke chapter 6, verse 10. The Pharisees have now spoken. They've asked Jesus a question. Jesus gives the illustration of a sheep. And then we read in verse 10, and looking round about upon them all. So there's Jesus standing in the middle of that synagogue. And there's the man standing with him with the withered hand. And Jesus begins to look around at those Pharisees. And then we read in Mark 3 verse 5, "And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts." So you see this man and Jesus standing in the midst. All eyes are upon them. And then we read verse 10 of our text. Jesus has looked around the room. He sees the faces of the Pharisees. He knows every thought that is in their minds. He knows that they despise him. He knows that they are just seeking to make accusation against him. And then we read in verse 10. You see, verse 10, "And looking round about upon them all," and that right there you can insert Mark 3, verse 5. "He said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand." Stretch forth thy hand. He did not say to him, "Take your left hand and massage your right hand." That's not what he said. He did not say, "Take your withered hand and go over there and present it to the priest, and he will perform a ceremony." He did not say, "Take your left hand and wash your right hand." Those were all things that this man could do. But he told him to do something that he could not do. "Stretch forth thy right hand." Again, we picture this man, his hand is close to his body, all withered. And when Jesus said, "Stretch forth thy hand," what is he saying? He's saying, "Move your hand away from yourself and move it toward me." That's good advice. Whatever the need might be, good advice is move it away from yourself and move it toward him. That's when miracles begin to happen. Now, Jesus knew this man's hand was shriveled. He could see it. He knew it was paralyzed. He knew that it was lifeless. But he says to this man, when he said, "Stretch forth thine hand," he's saying, go beyond your limitations. For this man to stretch forth his hand would require a miracle. Require a miracle. This man, we don't know how long this man's hand had been withered. Perhaps decades. We have no idea. It doesn't matter. If it mattered, Jesus, the Lord would have told us. But that was his life. That was his past. This withered hand. And Jesus is telling him, move past your past into glorious possibilities. Stretch forth thine hand. So Jesus issues the command, stretch forth thine hand. And as soon as those words came out of Jesus' mouth, I believe that life and energy were imparted to that shriveled, dead hand. And the man, blood began to flow. The nerves began to come to life. And the man began to feel a stimulation in his hand that he had not felt in a long time. The miraculous was already taking place. We read in verse 10, "And he did so." And he did so. Matthew says, "And he stretched it forth." And Mark says, "And he stretched it out." This was an act of faith on the part of this man. He believed that Jesus could do something. Now, he could have said, what good's that going to do? I don't see the point. I can't. I don't have the ability. But without any protest, without any argument, without any reasoning, it says he stretched it forth. And he did so believing that Christ was able. Jesus gives the command, stretch forth. Put the emphasis on thy hand. Stretch forth thy hand. Stretch forth that shriveled, emaciated, deteriorated, and dead hand. Stretch forth thy hand. Very particular. He also gave the power for that man to obey the command. Stretch forth thy hand. And what a sight. Again, keep in mind all the Pharisees and scribes. They're all sitting there. There are other people there as well. What a sight. This man with his hand, he begins to stretch it out. But they're still, the only thing they're hoping for, oh, I hope he heals that hand. Because then we're going to accuse him, we're going to indict him as a Sabbath breaker. A blasphemer. And then we read, and his hand, the one that was shriveled, was restored whole as the other. Now you can believe what you want to believe. This is the way I picture it. There's this man with the withered hand. Jesus says, stretch forth thy hand. And I believe as he stretched it forth, the hand began to straighten. And then he got it all stretched out and it opens. And he's able to move it. Now you can believe that he stretched it out and it was just shriveled, and then when it got to that point, it opened. It doesn't matter. The hand was restored whole. What a sight. What that man felt at that time. His hand has been mended. His hand has been revived. It was restored whole. That means entirely, completely. That means his whole hand. It wasn't that just that one finger was still shriveled. His whole hand was restored. And I can picture this man going through those Pharisees and shaking their hands. Oh, what a pleasure to use that hand. But the whole hand was restored. His life was changed right there. His lifestyle would be changed from that day forward. And if you were to see this man on the street and you knew that he had a shriveled hand in the past, and you see that, he probably went walking down the street just moving his hand. Aren't you the one who had a shriveled hand? I heard that you stretched forth your withered hand. And he could answer, yeah, I did. I stretched forth my withered hand. How did you do that? Oh, it wasn't me. Oh, it wasn't me. The Lord gave me the power to stretch that hand out. The Lord gave me the ability to stretch that hand out. You and I could say the same thing that are saved. The Lord told us to believe. And someone could ask me, did you believe? Yes, I did. Did you believe all by yourself? No, I didn't. I believed as a result of His power. And oh, how many things we could say that about today. So there's Jesus, and there's this man. But he's no longer standing there like that. His hand is made whole. And there's those Pharisees. sitting in the chief seats. And Matthew and Mark record that the Pharisees went out, held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Totally unmoved by the glorious miracle that had just taken place. I've seen these Pharisees. I've dealt with these Pharisees. I can spot them 100 miles away. The marvelous healing miracle, what it did was intensify the hatred and the malice of the scribes and Pharisees. All that healing did was escalate their rage and their malice toward him. But the man with the withered hand went home from that meeting with Jesus with his hand restored whole. The Pharisees went home, they're murmuring, they're griping, they're enraged. But this man, he went home different than he came in. Why? All because of Jesus. That brings us quickly to an application. This man had a hindrance in his life. Is there anyone here with a hindrance in their life? This man had a limitation in his life. He had an encumbrance, something that was getting in the way. Anyone like that here? He had a complication. He had an inconvenience in his life. Where's the man with the withered hand? The church is filled with people with withered hands. We all have them. And to such we say in Christ's name, stretch forth thy hand. Take it from yourself and reach it out toward Christ, whatever it is. Stretch forth thy hand. Believe Him. Trust Him. Move that which is withered away from yourself and stretch it forth toward Him. Is there anything in our spiritual lives that are shriveled and deteriorated and dead? Hear Jesus say, stretch it forth unto me. This man had a need that was beyond himself. Anyone like that here today? You have a need that is beyond your ability. You have a need that is beyond anyone else's ability. Oh, that you would hear Jesus say, stretch forth thy hand. Stretch it forth. Get it away from yourself. And get it closer to Christ. I guarantee you, it's so every time we meet. This is not a criticism. This is a fact. Every time we meet, there are needs. Insurmountable needs. More needs than you and I even realize. There are some needs that you and I can see. But there are other needs that you and I cannot see. And we all have needs that no one else can see. We have needs that people can see. But we also have needs that no one else can see. There's needs. There's cares or concerns. Is there anyone here that doesn't have a concern? We all have concerns. Many times we share those concerns, but we may have concerns that no one knows about as well. There are burdens. There are difficulties. There are problems. There are sorrows. There are heartaches. And Jesus says, stretch it forth. Stretch it forth. There are overwhelming trials and pressures. It causes us great anguish and distress of soul. There are many things. I could stand here all for the rest of the day. There are many things that caused me great anguish and distress of soul. We all have those things. There are those who are at their wits' end. There are those who are in the depths. And Jesus says, stretch it forth. There are those who have disappointments. Is there anyone here that hasn't been disappointed? We have disappointments. And our greatest disappointment ought to be with herself. There's turmoil, there's temptations, there's anxiety. Someone say, well, I don't worry about anything. You're lying. We all do. We all do. We have anxieties. There are those who go to bed at night facing a giant. They wake up in the middle of the night and their giant is still there. They get up in the morning and bam, there it is again. There are giants. There are life and death struggles that go on in our life. There are insurmountable, or what appears to be insurmountable, obstacles. There are some rugged mountains. And sometimes there's dense darkness. But we need to remember this. Jesus is here. And he says to you and I, stretch it forth unto me. We need to take inventory of our lives. And whatever is withered, Jesus is here. And he is able to perform a miracle. And when he said to this man, stretch forth thy hand, he says to you and I today, whatever it is that's in our life that's withered, in a state of decay, he says, stretch it forth unto me. Stretch it forth unto me. You say, I can't. I've tried, but I can't. But you can. You can on the power of his word. He says, I'm not saying stretch it forth. He says, stretch it forth. And when he issues that command, he gives the ability to do it. Quit saying, I can't. And do what the Lord says. Because if he tells you to do something, he'll give you the power to do it. And here's what will happen. You don't have to walk around with a withered hand. You don't have to have that limitation in your life. You don't have to have that hindrance. You can leave here with a new hand, restored whole. But you have to do what Jesus said. Stretch it out. Well, I'm going to try a different way. And you'll leave here with a withered hand. You'll continue to live your life with a withered hand. Well, I don't agree. Then you'll continue to live your life with a withered hand. Stop complaining and do what the Lord says. Stretch it forth. Stop blaming everyone else and do what the Lord says. Stretch it forth. You say, well, I just don't feel like doing that today. Well, then you'll leave here like this. Your only alternative is to stretch it forth. If you want it to be whole, you have to move it toward Christ. If you're here and lost, the Lord says, believe. You say, well, I don't want to. You'll leave here lost. Believe. Well, I've tried and I can't. Oh, that God would give you the power. Amen. That God would instill the life into your soul to enable you to believe. I went the day I was saved. I went from sitting there in that chair angry at God to believing. It's not something I just decided to do. God infused life into my soul. And as a result, I believed. That's how sinners are saved. And the one who saved me and the one who saved those that are here and saved, if you're here and lost, He can save you today. Oh, that He would impart life into your soul. How do I know that He does? You'll see yourself as you never did before. You'll feel something you've never felt before. Amen. And you, without hesitancy, will believe. You will come as a result of the Lord imparting life. That's the new birth. Oh, there's all, we all walk around with a withered hand. We all have that which is withered in our lives. But whatever it is, Jesus is the answer for it. Again, there's not a 10-step program. People would rather have that. They would rather have a 10-step program than one answer, Jesus. There's not a 10-step program to fix your problem. The one who stands in the midst is the answer. He's the remedy. He's the solution. It doesn't matter what the problem is. He's the solution. He's the remedy. It doesn't matter what's withered. He's the answer. He's the solution. We need to realize that. And every time a need comes into our life, we need to stretch it forth unto Him. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.